Our scripture reading is Mark chapter 10, verses 13 through 16. Listen to these words of scripture and in them the Spirit's word to you. People were bringing little children to him in order that he might touch them. And the disciples spoke sternly to them. But when Jesus saw this, he was indignant and said to them, "Let the little children come to me. Do not stop them, for it is to such as these that the kingdom of God belongs. Truly I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will never enter it." And he took them up in his arms, laid his hands on them, and blessed them. Holy wisdom, holy word. Thanks be to God.
It is so good to be here in person worshiping with you. As I was preparing for today, I was reminded that it was 14 years ago during this very season that Dwight and I served here for 10 weeks as renewal pastors. One thing that you didn't know probably was that those were the first 10 weeks of me living on Oahu, having moved from Chicago. So CC was very integral to my feeling at home in this new community. One of the images I have in my mind when I think about CCU is the stained glass window in the back. Jesus with children. And appropriately, it evokes today's scripture reading, does it not? In today's scripture reading, Jesus is talking about the disciples, and he's there with them, and these children were coming to him. Now, I think some of these children were probably with their parents, but some clearly were not. And there were just lots of children around, and the disciples, Jesus' bodyguards, if you will, wanted to save Jesus from the bother of the children, and they shooed him away. Get away. He's an important man. Don't bother him. He has places to go, and he's saying some very important things. Yet Jesus, hearing his disciples rebuke the children, he rebuked them, saying, "Let the little children come to me. Do not stop them, for it is to such as these that the kingdom of God belongs. Truly I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will never enter it." And then he welcomed the children and blessed them, like the beautiful stained glass image that we see. The scene exudes warmth all over, and we can look tenderly at this Jesus and say, look how good Jesus is with children. Look how he loved them. Not only that, today's scripture reading reminds us of the message that the students from Punahou shared with us last week, both the first graders and the fifth graders. Is it not? The message was about the voyagers, ancestors who came to Hawaii, who the first ones who traveled being guided by the stars. A wonderful message of hope and faith on the eve of Discoverer's Day. It is as if Chaplain Lauren was foreshadowing this morning's scripture reading by showing us what wisdom and truth children possess. But what does it really mean for us to receive the kingdom of God as a little child? We get that Jesus loved the children, but what about us? Do we need to become creative and techie like the children of Punahou? Do we need to look cute and darling like those first graders lighting the candles? Do we need to be imaginative and creative storytellers like those fifth graders who helped us to imagine what that might have been like, those first voyagers? Not only were they all cute and creative, they all seemed to be so well-behaved and cooperative. Is that what it means to be like a child, Chaplain Lauren? We can talk later. I never had children, but I've always had children in my life. And one of the greatest joys that Dwight and I share now is that we have a granddaughter whom we dote on, and I get to be Tutu. Though Lyra and her parents live in Seattle, we've been so fortunate to be able to spend some significant amounts of time together, until the last 19 months, that is. She's almost 9 now, and so she'd be horrified by me telling you this story, but to me, it exemplifies what it's like to be childlike. So ever since she was born, she loved spending time in Hawaii. Being a child who lives in Seattle, she quickly noticed that in Hawaii, even when it rains, it's warm. So she loves that. So when she's in Hawaii, she's outside. She's at the beach, she's at the pool, at the park, she's at the beach, at the pool. You get the idea. So a few years ago, when she was about 2.5, she and her family were visiting us, and one afternoon she was tired from all that active playing and hadn't had a nap, so she was a bit cranky. She was sitting on her dad's lap and just twisting, so uncomfortable with herself and of the world, and just twisting around, and her dad was trying to calm her down by saying, "Lyra, cooperate, please. Lyra, cooperate, please." And she kept saying, "No, no," until her back was arched, you know how it is, oh, and just crying. And so it took a while for this whole full-blown tantrum to kind of calm down. And after she calmed herself down a bit, she snuggled back into her dad's lap and said, "Daddy, Daddy, would you say that to me again? Lyra, cooperate, please." "No, no." And she just put her hands down, and she was kind of in her full tantrum. Well, you see the picture here. There she is. She's going to be very embarrassed about this, but that's what she was. So when I tell that story to anyone who has a 2-year-old, or anyone who's ever raised a 2-year-old, they just laugh and nod. Yep, that's what children do, especially 2-year-olds. So what is Jesus talking about? Should we be like those tantrum-throwing children to enter the kingdom of God? Is that what he means? Or is there another quality that he is pointing to? One of the universal qualities of children is that they are vulnerable and utterly dependent. They are helpless. They cannot take care of themselves. When they are newborns, they can't even feed themselves or walk or talk. They are completely dependent on their parents and caregivers. On top of that, they don't even know how completely dependent they are. And I think this is the unique and universal quality that Jesus speaks of when he says we need to receive the kingdom of God as a child would. I think we are called to depend completely on God the way a child is dependent on his or her caregivers and on the world around him or her. As Lyra was throwing her tantrum, I am more than 100% sure that she never, ever, not even for 1 second, doubted her father's love for her. She trusted in her father's love and his ability and availability to be with her through her tantrums. In fact, it is precisely because of her father's steadfast love that she could be her full-on 2.5-year-old self, quite literally being the most 2.5-year-old child she could be. She was completely fearless in her trust of her dad's love and care for her. Complete fearless trust. I believe that is what Jesus is talking about. Our utter dependence on God, our utter and complete dependence on God's love. What would it be like to live with that kind of utter dependence on God? that kind of fearless knowledge of love. What would it be like if our trust in God's love was so fearless that we too can be our most full-on expression of our human selves, honest, authentic, raw, vulnerable? I think it is in those childlike moments that we do glimpse the kingdom of God. As I mentioned, Lyra has grown up now. She is almost 9. It's been almost 2 years since we saw her last, and next week we are traveling there to celebrate her 9th birthday and to do Halloween with her. This is what she looked like when she was 2.5. And this is what she looks like now. I know, she's so grown up now. In fact, every time we Zoom with her, we say, she's so grown up. And that's the other point I want to reflect with you. To be like a child is to grow and change, or to let growth and change happen. In fact, resisting growth and change is futile. Change, of course, is part of all life. Yet, often many of us are tempted to resist change. Even churches are tempted to resist change, are we not? We often long for those days gone by when we were younger, more energetic, more full, more something, rather than be filled with the wonderment of the growth each day brings, even now. To be like a child is to let change happen. In fact, to embrace the inevitable growth and change. There's a modern parable which I have treasured for many years that speaks of this kind of embracing of this kind of change. It's a story about two yet-to-be-born twins. Two unborn twins are snug and secure in their mother's womb, but they face an uncertain future, an uncertain passage to a new life. Weeks passed into months, and with the advent of each new month, twins began noticing change in each other, the other, and then herself. "We are changing," said one twin. "What can it mean?" "It means," replied the other, "that we are drawing near to birth," said the first twin. "Were it up to me, I would live here forever." "We must be born," said the other. "It has happened to all the others who were here before." For indeed, there was evidence of life there before, as the mother had borne other children. "But is there life after birth?" "How can there be life after birth?" cried the first twin. "Do we not shed our life cord? And have you ever talked to one that has been born? Has anyone ever re-entered the womb after birth?" "No." She fell into despair, and in her despair, she moaned, "If the purpose of conception and all our growth is that it be ended in birth, then truly life is absurd." Resigned to despair, she stabbed the darkness with her unseeing eyes, and as she clutched her precious life cord to her chest and said, "If this is so, and if life is absurd, then there really can be no mother." "But there is a mother," protested the other. "Who else gave us nourishment and our world?" "We get our own nourishment, and our world has always been here," replied the first twin. "And if there's a mother, where is she? Have you ever seen her? Does she ever talk to you?" "No, we invented the mother because it satisfied a need in us. It made us feel secure and happy." Thus, while one raved in despair, the other resigned herself to birth and placed her trust in the hands of her mother. Hours stretched into days, and days fell into weeks, and it came time. Both knew their birth was at hand. Both feared what they did not know. They cried as they were born into light and coughed and gasped the dry air. And they, when they were sure that they had been born, they opened their eyes, seeing for the first time. And they found themselves cradled in the warm love of their mother's arms. They lay open-mouthed, awestruck before the beauty and truth they could not have hoped to have known. CCU, you are changing. Like the twins growing in their mother's womb, this time of reminding yourselves of the firm foundation is precisely that, time of growing so that you are ready for birth. And built upon the foundation of God's love, you can journey into the future fearlessly. For there, you too will find yourselves cradled in the warm love of your mother's arms. Many of you know the beautiful stained glass window in this holy place came out of a time of great sadness in the life of this congregation. It was a gift in memory of children who suffered greatly, children who didn't get to grow old. And today we look upon it not simply as a beautiful artwork, but as a reminder precisely of God's unfailing love in the midst of tragedy, pain, and loss. God's fierce presence in the face of our fears, and God's immeasurable grace even when we feel lost. And it is in our utter dependence that we dare to come to the table of grace week after week. We dare to gather because around the table we know we are welcome just as we are, God's children who might misbehave, who might throw tantrums, who might argue, who might need naps, but who certainly are loved. We are children who have the capacity to simply trust and grow and simply be children together. To be children together. Together. After all, isn't that the best part of the journey? Thanks be to God. Amen.